I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like and subscribe on there as well. So we continue our OG Anunoby trade conversations. We've done two already. And now this is the third and final one, maybe. I mean, we'll see what happens next week or what rumors come. But Alex Wolf of Locked On Knicks, co-host, and also the Strickland Knicks blog. Sir, how are you? How are things?
I'm good. You know, probably in about the same boat as you. I think, weirdly, we're on different sides of the trade deadline aisle this year. Like the Knicks seem like maybe they're going to be buyers, sort of, and the Raptors seem like they're going to be sellers. A little bizarre world action, but I think I've got a busy week ahead of me too. Don't worry.
No, it's a busy time for everyone, and exciting time depending on who you are. Maybe on the Knicks side, like maybe you're a little bit concerned about seeing some players go bye-bye, but at the same time, like you might get some upgrades and you might become really, really good. And you guys got a nice core over there. Jalen Brunson has worked out really well from what I'm seeing. And Julius Randle, I mean, I know he hates facing the Raptors, but he actually kills us every time too. Like it's like 30 and 15 is crazy. But anyways, okay. So the conversation, OG Anunoby. Let's start here. What is your appetite for OG to join the Knicks, and how do you think he would help their roster?
I mean, in a vacuum, I love his fit. You know, I think that he's one of those dudes that seems like he could fit on any team. I feel like any team in the NBA, like if you were like, hey, you can have OG Anunoby like for free, they'd be like, hell yeah, why would I not? You know, he's really good. He's long. He defends. He can shoot the three. You know, he can defend multiple positions. Like I actually covered this on my podcast the other day, but I looked on B-ball indexes, defensive versatility, and he has like, for the last like 4 or 5 years, he's had one of the highest defensive versatility scores of any player in the NBA.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's like scores like a 91 or 92 out of 100 most years, which is basically implying like he can guard any position on the floor and not have any issue, like 1 to 5, which is super rare in the NBA.
I've seen it. It's a fact.
So, I mean, obviously he's super appealing in that regard. You know, it all just is going to, I think, come down to price. And also, I mean, I guess the main thing for me is it seems like he's motivated to get out of Toronto, perhaps in pursuit of a bigger role or something. Otherwise, you know, I look at it and I'm like, well, why would they be looking to move him otherwise? You know, it's like, I can understand they're having a slightly down year this year, but like you have a good core. So like, why would you not just add to that rather than being like, let's subtract this super versatile, awesome player. So I do worry a little bit, like from a fit perspective of, you know, if he comes to the Knicks and he's playing, then, you know, presumably, like, I don't think that RJ Barrett would be in a trade if they do it at this deadline, because he can't really be traded this year because of just signing his extension. Or it would be extremely difficult to do it because of like the poison pill provision or whatever. So presumably he's coming to a roster that would already have Brunson, RJ, and Randle. And Randle and Brunson are still going to be the one and two options, I think, on offense. And then RJ soaks up a good deal of usage. So like, would that jive with him basically coming to the same sort of, like you can almost like one-to-one replace. It's like, okay, he's coming from, you know,
being fourth in the pecking order to be
like FEV, you know, Siakam and Gary Trent, and then comes to a team that has Brunson, Randle, and RJ. It's like, what's really the difference at that point? So I do, you know, personnel wise and personality wise, maybe I worry a little bit if he's really looking to like move up in the world and sort of have his own like Brunson breakout somewhere else. But just like purely in a vacuum, like, of course I would want him on the team. Like he's just such an interesting and versatile player that I feel like any team would be lining up to have him.
this is now the third podcast that I've done about this subject. And so, and over time, I've realized that, yes, he is extremely in demand, but the lack of clarity on the Raptors' approach to the deadline is making it hard to really, like, really assess what they could be doing. And also what OG Anunoby is thinking. Like, we've seen two sides to it. Well, we have heard two different sides, right? One, he's unhappy. He's looking for a change of scenery. But then also he's told reporters, like, recently that, no, I'm good in Toronto. And we know his contract status. He's under contract next season. But then after that, he has a player option. He's going to opt out. He's going to look for more money, yada, yada, yada. And on the Raptor side again, we're not really sure what they're looking for. Are they trying to rebuild around Scottie Barnes? Are they trying to make a little tinker here and there, some tweaks? Because they feel like, you know, between Pascal and Scottie Barnes and, I don't know, I guess OG, they're all on a contract next season. Gary Trent and Fred are not, so they're going to opt out. They got to make some decisions there. But in the end, like, I still think that what we saw last season, like, wasn't fake. I think there's a good team here. There's just something going on in the water in that locker room. I don't know what. I think we're going to find out eventually, but there's just something that's a bit off. But anyways, maybe you can get right back at it next season. Or, I mean, like I said, you could just say, here you go, Scottie Barnes. You want to be a leader? You want to be a point guard? Here's two of those, and I want to see you go and thrive. And you just start building from the ground up. And in that case, you know, the Knicks have a lot of draft picks, a lot of first rounders this year for sure. It's like, so that would probably be the starting ground of any trade that does happen. But I did listen to that pod that you did about OG. And do you know where he scored his career high?
Was it against New York?
It was.
Yeah. Didn't he score like 30 something? Yeah.
He scored 36 points. Yes. Yes.
I wasn't wrong when I said I don't think he's ever scored 40 points.
True. And he actually missed a few very makeable shots. So it could have been 40. But I just wanted to, I thought that was funny that you said that. I'm like, what even was? Like, how high is he
going? I totally forgot, to be honest. I mix up him and Siakam. You know, it's like, and like FVV has had a ton of huge games. It's like every Raptor has torched the Knicks at least once. I don't know. It's like a whole thing.
It's a joy of ours watching DeMar and Kyle and everyone have success there. Low key, it's fun for us. I mean, it's fun for players too. Like, you guys know, players come into MSG and it's like, oh, the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
everybody does love to play under those bright lights. Yeah. I mean, it is a fantastic arena. Objectively, as a Knicks fan, I feel very lucky that that's where I get to go watch home games.
I've never been.
You should check it out sometime. Make a pilgrimage sometime. Like, I promise you, it's worth it. It's a fantastic arena.
I went to New York, this was like many moons ago, but I don't think they were at home during that time. So we went to Brooklyn and that was a cool arena, but it just didn't have like, it's a cool arena, but it doesn't have like the mastery and the majestic, like just the symbols of MSG. And you keep on hearing it from anyone that I talk to. They're just like, there's just something about MSG. There's something about
Barclays. Barclays is a cookie cutter corporate wasteland compared to
MSG. Good.
Like, MSG looks fantastic by comparison. So definitely go to MSG sometime.
What's going on with RJ right now? He's not playing a lot, and it seems like him and Tom Thibodeau, I mean, they're just not really in sync the way they maybe should be. And obviously you mentioned that he got that contract extension, like they want him around, it seems, but what's the deal there?
Yeah, it's been a little weird the last like 2 weeks or so. RJ's been, you know, the most pronounced example was the other day against the Lakers. He sat like the final like 11 minutes and change, which included overtime, which I sort of took a little bit of exception to. Like, I was like, I don't understand why you don't bring him in to at least like everybody was clearly exhausted at the end of that game for the Knicks. And yet Tibbs still just like out of his like stubborn, like, I'm going to bench you and that's what's going to happen. Like, sort of, you know, mentality was like, no, you can't play still. You know, we're not going to like give Julius like 2 seconds to catch his breath, like, so that he's not like totally winded. And it was starting to feel a little uncomfortable. Like, RJ like didn't talk to press after that game, was clearly frustrated. And normally he's like such a good soldier, like always talks to press. But then just yesterday he faced the Heat and had 30 points and looked very reinvigorated. So maybe the tactic worked from Tibbs. I don't know, but I would say in general, like, his defense has been, he's been falling into some bad habits on defense, which is what's...
Oh, you can't do that with Tommy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tibbs does surprisingly have a high tolerance for certain guys, but not others, though. Like, Randall all last year was just awful defensively, and yet he still trotted him out there for his guaranteed 35 minutes a game. RJ, you know, I guess is held to a different standard probably because he's younger. You know, he is still It's crazy. He's in his fourth year in the league, but he's still, I think, the second youngest player on the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Because he just came in the league so young. I mean, he was like 18 when he got drafted,
right?
Or 19, like a week later. So, I mean, it's a weird situation. I think ultimately things are going to be fine. I think this is just stuff that happens throughout the course of the season. Like,
yeah,
this is Tibbs' way of saying, I'm unhappy with how you've been playing, like, you know, and Quickley's playing better and Grimes is playing better, you know, like they're bringing it more on the defensive end. And that's what I need late in the game. And then RJ kind of took the challenge and, you know, look, like he didn't even play a perfect game against the Heat, but like he stepped up in a big way. Like they were without Brunson and he scored 30 points and, you know, that was super needed in that game. And he had a couple turnovers, one of which I think was more on Tibbs for bad inbound play design. The other one that was more RJ kind of making a bonehead play. But again, you're not even in the lead with seconds to go in that game if he doesn't score 30. I think he's fine. I think there's a decent chance maybe somewhere down the line he is the guy that's part of like the package to get the guy for the Knicks, you know, to like take that next step. They trade for some big star. But as of right now, I think things are okay with him. Yeah. You know, I think it's just stuff you go through throughout a season and things are all right. I will say one thing that is annoying though to me as someone who's in the community, you know, of like Knicks fans and whatever, is that Knicks fans are extremely quick to like have two bad games from a 22-year-old. Turn them on him, you know, where it's like, oh, RJ isn't it.
Oh,
like,
bro, oh come God, on, man. I'm in Raptor Land. I know what this is like.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a little annoying in that regard, but I think he's fine and I think he's developing okay. And he's clearly, I mean, yesterday he had 30 points without making a single three-pointer and he was just that dominant, like driving and drawing fouls and that sort of thing. And that's been his bread and butter. And I mean, we even did a show recently on Locked On Knicks where we like examined like the numbers paint him as one of the best drivers, finishers, foul drawers, like in the NBA, if you take into context, like difficulty of shot and stuff. So he's clearly developing. I think things are going to be okay.
And the Knicks themselves are going to be probably okay. You're just nearly outside that top six and an upgrade could surely help. How would OG help the Knicks?
I think they need more versatile defenders. Like every team does, but you know, right now I think that they have Quentin Grimes and Emmanuel Quickley have been
love Grimes, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, they're both fantastic. They're such great defenders. They're just like all over the place at all times.
Yeah.
But you know, there's some size, problems with those two, you know, like, I don't think that they're suited to guard like big wings or like, especially like fours or occasional switches on the fives. Oh, and then you have Mitchell Robinson too, who it's easy to overlook at this particular moment because he's hurt, but like is one of the best defensive centers in the entire NBA.
Yeah.
And basically is the fulcrum of the entire Knicks defense at its best. So, I mean, if you can throw a lineup out there potentially, you know, if you just need a stop and you can throw a lineup out there of like Quickley, Grimes, OG, Randall and Mitch, like,
that's
a hell of a defensive front. So, I mean, I think that that's basically what it is they just need a big wing switchy defender. And OG is that. And he's also a guy that has shown the ability to consistently hit spot up threes, which has been an issue for the Knicks at times. Like they just seem to go cold as a team every once in a while, which happens to the best of teams. But, you know, having someone out there who's like a surefire, like spot up shooter that can shoot like 36, 37%, like all the time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
would be great.
Again,
though, like I said, when we first started talking, like, it requires buy-in from OG into that role too. I think he would still effectively be like a high level role player, but if obviously if they make the investment that needs to be made via trade assets to get him, he's going to have a big role on the team.
Sure.
But I don't know, like, I don't think that they would bring him in thinking like he's ready for a breakout. We're going to turn this kid into a star. I think they would bring him and be like, this guy will give us one of the most like well-rounded defensive lineups in the NBA if we want it.
Yeah.
And that's super appealing, I think, for a team that really prides itself on defense.
I want to get your thoughts on anything that you wanted to know more about OG. I mean, you asked a few things there, but in the end, I mean, OG, he shoots 42% from each corner. Very good, right? And he's a big shot maker. The lights don't really faze him. We've seen that time and time again in Toronto, like, you know, 2 minutes left. Someone needs to hit a shot. It's usually OG, and he'll do it with a calm, cool, collected, no problems. And the idea that you had Mitchell Robinson back there, and OG already is like such a plus defender, and on the perimeter, he's so aggressive, and he's got such a nose for the ball, and just like anticipating dribbling patterns and getting those steals and getting those like line drives towards the rim. You have Mitchell back there. It allows OG to be even that much more aggressive. And you're tapping into something like really special then. We've seen glimpses of it, but again, like the Raptors just don't have the rim protection to, you know, to let him be that like, you know, safety in a sense, right? And just like roaming around and doing his thing and like recovering and just like swallowing up space on the perimeter and around the rim. Like he's very, very good at it. He is like truly a defense player of the year candidate year in, year out. Is there anything you want to know about OG? I'm happy to help if there's something you're curious about in terms of his offensive skills.
Yeah, I guess. What do you think? I've said like three times now, and I said this on my podcast the other day too, when I was doing my own research. Like, I don't necessarily think that he's primed to become some like untapped gem of a offensive player. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of like, I use Brunson as an example on my pod, right? Like Brunson played off Luka for so long, and yet then you got this glimpse last postseason into like what it would look like if he was the guy running the show. And that was enough to be like, oh man, I think there's something here. Like he might be able to run a team and be the primary, you know, on a team and be one of the primary scorers. OG, I look at the numbers and I'm just like, I feel like he wants to be that guy. Like he wants to be the breakout candidate, but looking at the numbers, his self-creation numbers are not high. The shots that he does self-create the most are the mid-range, and he's actually quite bad at them. Like if you just look at purely the percentages, like maybe good at creating the looks, but not good at making them. He's like, I think 30th percentile or something among wings as far as percentages there. So if you look at that, what do you think? Do you think that he's primed for that sort of breakout? Or do you think that he's probably better off just eventually settling into like being a super role player on offense and being like the best defender on a team?
I think there is upside to him being more than a 3-and-D player, put it that way. He's shown it a few times when Pascal Siakam was injured. He would come in and he was averaging like, you know, 20 points. He was getting some assists. He was getting like, you know, five rebounds, and it was on a decent percentage, like 45, 47, 48%. The Raptors and just their offense in general has been so clunky for so long. It's been better lately, to their credit. They've changed some things up, but in the end, I don't think he was in advantageous positions to really like explore his offense in a system that really promotes like ball movement and just like good offensive process. At the same time though, he doesn't have too many counters, and that's a problem for him. But when it comes to just like attacking closeouts and creating off the dribble, he can do it, right? And he's shown again the glimpses that he can do it at a decent clip. It's just like the ball handling isn't there yet. I think like in the end, I think he can get to being like a number three option on a championship team. I think that's possible. But number two, I don't know. Like, I think I saw the example here in Toronto, like Pascal Siakam was number two to Kawhi Leonard, and Pascal is trying to be like the Kawhi Leonard, but I'm not sure if OG necessarily is already there to be like a Pascal Siakam type on a championship team. I just don't know if he has like the tools, and he's a bit awkward offensively. And I think that is a bit of a problem for him, but, certainly there's a nose for the ball. There's good instincts. He's a good playmaker. He's willing to make that extra pass. And if you just put him in positions to be successful, I think he could actually be like, there's a lot of upside to him being a really good offensive player, like a consistent 20 points per game player, but maybe not like a 25, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's actually really great. Like I love how you just described that because it sounds so similar to how we describe Quentin Grimes, like as far as his offensive skill set. Like we've said consistently on our pod, like he's not a 3-and-D in the traditional sense of a 3-and-D. Like, yes, he can shoot threes and he can play defense, but he does have a really good ability to attack closeouts, and he's a very, very good passer and stuff like that. So like if that's the type of player that OG is, again, I would love to have that type of player. I just hope that he sees himself as that type of player and necessarily thinking like, no, I need to go to my next stop and like become LeBron or whatever, or, you know, whoever, like whatever, Donovan Mitchell or something, let's say, even like, let's set the bar a little lower. You know, like I want to be like the guy that's scoring the ball all the time. Like that would be my main hope, would be that he wouldn't. Right. And, you know, you want guys to have self-confidence and whatever, but I think there's certain times that's to a fault. I just worry with if there is like a trade demand right now, that's sort of his motivation of like, well, I want to get out of here so I can like blossom. Mm. And I'm like, I kind of just love the player he is right now. Like, I'd be pretty cool with that.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some of these trades. I don't want to keep you too long here. So what is your trade proposal for Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster to get OG in Toronto? In New York, my bad. In New York.
Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm not sending him back to Toronto anymore. I
want him to stay. By the way, I want to make that clear. But
I go back and forth on this. I mean, because of the fact that I don't necessarily see him as like a franchise altering talent on the level of like say that the Knicks were going for Mitchell over this past offseason. I struggle with the concept of like giving up like three first round picks or whatever, which apparently the Knicks have offered. Yeah. My guess would be that their offer, whatever it was like 2-3 months ago, whatever that was reported, was most likely the three picks that they got from trading out of 11 this year, which would be Detroit and Washington's first round picks, which are protected in similar ways, like roughly lottery protected for like 2 years. Then eventually like 4 or 5 years down the line, they only become like top eight protected. In which case they'll hopefully convey, because you would hope that those two teams can get themselves out of the gutter by then. Yeah. But those picks are available. Milwaukee's pick top four protected in 2025 was also part of that deal. So my guess is they probably offered those three. I think where I would probably land, Cam Reddish needs a new home, apparently. He's an intriguing player. I mean, you want to talk about guys that are playing like a 3-and-D plus player. He was kind of playing like that for the Knicks earlier this year. And I don't know why things fell apart the way they did, but they have. And it's been a little frustrating because like we were just starting to like kind of fall for the kid. And then it's like, oh, no, he's not in the rotation anymore. So I would probably start with him as like, as far as a player compensation. If it took like Obi Toppin and Cam, that would break my heart a little, but that would probably be a pretty seamless fit for Toronto to kind of plug him into their lineup where they love players with his profile. And then for the Knicks, you know, presumably OG is going to be taking a lot of those minutes that Obi would have been playing anyway. Not that Obi plays a lot of minutes to begin with, but he would be taking probably whatever, like if Obi remained on the roster, he would probably be out of the rotation then with OG on the team. So I would probably say Cam and OG, or sorry, Cam and Obi for OG. Yeah. And then to make salaries work, I would throw Derrick Rose in, who I think actually Toronto would probably look at and be like, look, if we're still trying to play for the play-in this year, like kind of have our cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Rose would probably have some utility. I know that Malachi Flynn seems to have kind of fallen out of the rotation there.
There is no backup point guard. It's currently Scotty Barnes.
Yeah, so I mean, you could throw Rose in there, and like he's still got some game. He just he got displaced by Emmanuel Quickley, who's awesome. Like Emmanuel Quickley is awesome, and he's 23 years old. So like, of course, they're going to play him. So I think Rose go there and find a role, which is what he wants and what the team wants to find for him anyway. And then as far as first, I would want to do those. I mean, look, if it came down to those three picks they got for number 11, I guess I'd be like fine with it. I've argued for a while, like I don't love how protected those picks are, but I can see the value in them. So I would probably offer all three of those. If they were hardline, like, no, we want like the Knicks also Dallas's pick top 10 protected this year. So if they wanted that instead of one of them, fine, go for it. they want the Knicks' own pick this year instead of that for one of them, I'd be like, pick one or the other. You can have the Dallas pick or the Knicks pick. I don't, whichever team you think is going to end up worse by the end of the year, throw a dart. Mm-hmm. Or could even work out some arrangement where they say, you know, hey, you get whichever is the better of the Knicks and Dallas's pick this year. Fine. I'm okay with that too. Yeah. I just would prefer the Knicks be able to add some talent this year in the draft. So, cause it's a good draft. But they could work out something like that. I think that's about where I'd come down on three picks, at least two of them protected. And I've moved up on that, to be honest. I even recorded a pod like 3 days ago where I was like,
I was thinking about that. Your tune is
changing. My thought process is changing a little bit. You know, I kind of look at him and more I think like he could potentially elevate them into a surprise, like top five, four seed this year if things really click. And is locked up through next year. And then they get the right, you know, in a pretty nice summer of 2024, they have options to retain him and, or sign and trade or whatever, which would be good. So it's become more appealing to me over the last few days. Yeah. So I think that's about where I come down. So if we total that up, Cam Reddish, Obi Toppin, Derrick Rose, and then three somehow protected first round picks, I think I would feel comfortable enough doing that. Cause then they're still basically protecting all their own draft capital going forward. They still have a good cabal of young players to trade for like another star down the line should the time come. That would make me feel pretty good for the Knicks. And if I was the Raptors, I mean, if OG wants out anyway, I feel like that's probably about as good of a package as you can get from most teams. Because most of the teams that would be looking to get him aren't exactly flush with picks.
Yeah, that's not bad. Just real quickly on Isaiah Hartenstein.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd include him, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not super huge on Hartenstein. Yeah, I mean, but he would probably fit the Raptors' needs quite well. I love Jericho Sims, though, who's backing him up. And so if the Knicks, once Mitch gets healthy, had Mitch and Sims as their, like, center rotation, and then maybe could finally convince Tibbs to run small with, like, Julius and OG out there as the 4-5 from time to time, that would be cool.
Has something. That could be really cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm intrigued. And Hartenstein as well. Go for it. Yeah,
I'm intrigued. I would prefer to have Aminio Quickly or Quentin Grimes, but I guess they're not going to be going anywhere. And
so would a lot of teams, but I don't think the Knicks.
I understand that. But the players you mentioned, like, that's an intriguing trade. I don't think they really want Derrick Rose too much because they want to give Scottie Barnes as many point guard reps as possible, and then they still believe in Delano Banton. But
the no matter what, they would need salary, and he's expiring salary. So that even if he just rots on the bench, whatever.
Yeah, it's true. This was fun, man. Thanks so much for your time. Let's see how things break down here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't wait for this next week. So thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.